This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Well, happy 4th of July weekend to you. My name is Bo Matthews, and for the vacationing Mark Cox, we've got Carl Middleman, our executive producer. The show Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors, proudly brought to you by Razorback Armory. Head to RazorbackArmory.com to learn about the store, but then head into the store on Manchester Road, just east of 270 in De Pere. Tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory. Now, this is a best of show. Carl Middleman has been taking his Ginsu knife and slicing it up and dicing it up, so we just want to tell you, we hope you enjoy the show. We hope you enjoy this holiday weekend celebrating America's birthday. Oh, and by the way, next week on the program, when we have all the soldiers put back together, I will be sharing about my adventure to Ted Nugent's property in Michigan on my very first big game hunt. Big game to me, anyway. As you are enjoying the weekend, make sure you tell your friends and family about this show, Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Enjoy.
I have it on good authority that that is the greatest riff in rock and roll history.
Absolutely. What authority is that, Mark?
Ted Nugent told me that that's the greatest riff in rock and roll history, and he knows that because he wrote it. So when Uncle Ted tells you something, you have to listen.
Especially if he's saying it in his loincloth.
Oh, man. Do you think he'll be sitting around in his loincloth?
I don't know, but I'm bringing
so
mine.
Awesome. I don't know. I don't know what the weather's like where you're going, Bo. But, you know, as we mentioned at the top of the show, Bo is going to be heading off this weekend while we're all listening to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors and doing a little bit of hunting with Jim Allen and the Motor City Madman. And we got Jim on the phone right now. Jim, I understand that this is your idea, and I'm actually wondering where my invitation was.
Well, good morning to you, fellas. You know, I guess idea is one way to put it, but the truth of it is it's an opportunity.
Yes.
And I usually will strike at opportunities when the time comes. And I, you know, there's a lot to this, but there's the hunting, the Ted Nugent. First of all, it's an iconic riff. There's, I don't care what your opinion is. It's an iconic
I love
riff.
It.
I mean, there's no doubt.
Favorites.
And I played that song at 15 years old till my fingers bled on my rented Dale's Music guitar from Florissant. And so, you know, it's been in my life a long time. So whether he's slinging a bow, a guitar, or a rifle, boy, he sure hits the note.
Did you play Great White Buffalo, too? Did you ever learn that one? That's a hard one.
I haven't played that. I've played a lot of the more fun songs to me, like Free for All, Hey Baby. Yeah. Like, those were fun to learn how to play. Cat Scratch Fever, of course, just loud and obnoxious and terrorizing my parents with that amplifier that they bought me.
Because it goes to 11.
That's right.
Hey, I do want to say this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory in De Pere on Manchester Road, because I have blown up Jesse's phone with questions, pre-trip questions. So if you're looking for suppressing, or you're looking for optics, or you're looking for a brand new firearm, they've got them. They've even got some great consignment ones. But head into Razorback Armory as soon as you can. If you've never been, you will love the experience. Jesse and Brad do a great job. Check them out, RazorbackArmory.com. Jim is the one that reached out to me literally 10 days ago, I think it was, and said, dude, we got an opportunity. Now, let me refresh your memory, Mark. This is the same guy that went to, was it Kentucky? Is that right?
Tennessee.
And he went down and he invited me to that thing. And that was the hog hunt where he had to, you know, ride in a side by side. They had the dogs. He told the story here on Second Amendment Radio and had to jump out of the side by side and run up to the hog and stab it in the heart. And he did that. And again, I was invited to that, but I was like, I don't think so. Not for me. But then after that happened, then my, you know, two granddaughters down in Texas, 14 years old, stabbed 50 in one day. And I'm like, okay, I got to do one of these things. And so as soon as Jim sent the email over and said, dude, we got to do this. He goes, I'm doing it. But if you want to go, you're welcome. And thankful, because we got it firmed up like within 24 hours of the offer. Now, and I've said to Jim too, Mark, if he would have said, oh, it's, you know, November 14th, we're going to go up and no, but it's quick. You're tearing off the Band-Aid, because remember, I have never big gamed hunt in my life. And I don't know if this is even called big game. Jim, is this big game? Bigger than I've ever shot?
I would say it's medium game.
Okay. So I'm all over it. And Mark, you'll be, both of you gentlemen have tickets in the Year of Guns gun raffle. You'll be glad to know that the win that I had in December, the 6-hour M400 tread, will be my firearm of choice. Nice. Although Jim has a backup for us, and that is a 30-06. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And that's a big old bullet. That's a big old, I shot it the other day, and it was like, wow.
So, Jim, tell us a little bit about this particular hunt. I mean, besides the fact that there's an opportunity to mingle with the Motor City Madman, Uncle Ted, what's the hunt? Where is it? When does it take place? Give us the details.
Yeah, so he has a 340-something acre ranch up in near Jackson, Michigan, with all kind of wildlife. Love to be shooting deer there, but really what we can legally hunt right now is ram and hog. I personally will be going for a ram because, as you know, I have a hog history, so I want to do something new, and I will be using my Matthews compound bow to harvest that animal if I get the opportunity. And so I think Bo wants to shoot at the hog, so I'm excited for him to get his first kill. And the hunting experience is awesome. I'm sure there'll be guides taking us out and putting us in prime locations so we get a good opportunity. And then there's a lunch with Ted Nugent. He's going to hang out for several hours. And if the people that did not harvest an animal in the morning can go back out in the afternoon, all the way up till 8 o'clock or so, right before sunset. So I think there's going to be some good opportunity. They do have a associated taxidermist and butcher nearby that if you need their services, you can utilize that. I'm sure it's some kind of a discounted rate, but that's the hunt day. So I'm super excited about that. I think weather's going to be like 75. This is a Friday event. Bo and I have to be there at 5 a.m. and we're staying 30 minutes away, so probably not a lot of conversation in the car. However, I will tell you that, Bo, I understood your apprehension about this whole thing, because anytime I call you with a new adventure, you're like, oh, okay. But I'm thrilled that I'm road tripping with the big dog 7.5 hours north to hunt on his first actual hunt. And the fellowship around that is awesome as well. So people that hunt, generally that fellowship, that camaraderie is – It can't be overstated. Like you're having these experiences, and they're just awesome. So that fellowship, I'm looking forward to the ride up. Bo made fun of me, but I made a playlist for the ride, and of course it features Ted Nugent himself.
I love it. Yeah. So yeah, Dan, we were talking about there. Jim, we were talking about this with Bo before in the break. You are going to be around a campfire with Ted Nugent the day after this presidential debate. I bet this guy, he'll be on fire. It won't be the fire. He'll be on fire.
You know, that's worth the trip in its own right. And, you know, everybody understands his political views are very conservative. Yeah. And, you know, there was Toby Keith made a comment before he passed about Ted Nugent not being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And it was 100% due to his political views.
Oh, yeah.
I know that's not the topic of this show, but I'm sure, knowing that environment and how Ted feels, his perspective is going to be, it's going to be hot. And, you know, I'm sure he wants to put some people in a stranglehold. Bada bing. There you go. But he will be amped up, you would have to assume. But you know what? Likely so will Bo and I. So it'll be a great conversation. Yeah.
Well, and what's funny is, as you know, we're texting, Jim and I are texting every single day, like, hey, what about this? What are we going to do? When I realized it was where travel day was the day of the debate, immediately Jim fired back, okay, we got to leave at 9 o'clock in the morning. So we make sure we're in place, you know, get a good steak and then get in place to see this thing. Mark and I were talking. He goes, why don't you go watch the debate with Ted? Well, come on. I ain't got that kind of pull.
Well, I know, I know, I know. But I can just imagine being in a room with Ted Nugent while this debate's going on.
You know, I think it's good to give him time to think through it and have him hit us up with it the next day. Cause I'm not sure you'd hear any of the debate with Ted in the room. But I don't know. I have not met him. But I have a funny little connection. I have 6 months ago, I bought a Gold Tip arrow. And Gold Tip is Ted's arrow of choice. He has his own line in the Gold Tip arrows. And so I bought one 6 months ago, and I had paid an extra $20 to have it signed by Ted Nugent. So I had this with the intention of using it in a trip down south in Alabama this year. I'm going deer hunting with a group. And I said, I'm going to take a deer off your property with this Ted Nugent arrow, and I'm going to send Ted a picture of his bloody arrow. And so they were all jazzed up, and they knew I was serious. But then they called me back when I told them this was happening, and they're like, oh, my God. Like, how did that happen? Is it because you bought that arrow that you're going on this trip? So there's all that. Like, Ted has been kind of present around the old Allen house here for a little while. So I plan to take that ram. I'm saying it right here on the radio. I plan to take that ram with that Ted Nugent signed arrow in a whacker broadhead. So we'll see how that goes.
Fantastic. Oh, awesome. You got to pick up a copy of his book, Kill It and Grill It. Did you know he's got a book out? He and his wife wrote a book called Kill It and Grill It, A Guide to Preparing and Cooking Wild Game and Fish. I need that myself. Yeah.
The lunch that they're talking about that we're going to have is going to be a wild game lunch. So actually, if we get our kill in the morning and we have that wild game lunch, we might be hitting every rest stop on the way home because of that stuff running right through you. I don't know.
No, it's going to be good. I hope it's venison. I eat a lot of wild game. I've gone through at least a third of the hog that I killed. The sausage is magnificent. But you know, it's like I said, I'm excited about the whole trip, the whole road trip of it, the whole experience. Oh, yeah. And you know, I'm sure Bo will fill you plenty in on it on our return. So, but very excited about
it. So I need to ask Jim, because I'm thinking that there may be people listening to this show that would love to have that opportunity. Is it open to the public if you go through the ranch and you're willing to pay the fee to go up and take the hunt? I mean, are these open hunts?
Yeah, so he has also a ranch in Texas where he lives sometimes, and Michigan. They do have group hunts that you can get on and connect with them on their website. I think Sunrise Farms is the one we're going up to. And they do offer that, and they're expensive. So that's a full outfitter. So they do this for a living. But this one, Toby Nugent is his son. That's who we've been communicating with. This is the first time they've done this. So if this includes hanging out with Ted. So I ended up getting that invitation, and that's when I'm like, okay, I got to see which one of my friends are man enough to go on this adventure. And of course, Bo, like, he's like, oh, I'm not sure. Are you serious? And then when he realized it was happening, man, to his credit, he's like, I'm all in.
Absolutely. I just want to say, Jim, you've got a friend in me. So don't mind the Toy Story reference there, but if Bo ever backs out on you on one of these, you know who to call, right?
Right on. I got you. And, you know, I think if they said this is just a test for them. They're like, hey, we're going to bring some people up and try it out. If it's amazing, I think they're going to put this on the schedule for their typical hunts. So we will see. Me and Bo will try not to screw that up for everyone.
Okay. We appreciate it.
I'm waiting to hear Mr. Nugent would like you escorted to the front gate.
Trying to keep down the fanboy stuff just a little bit.
He is retiring from music, so...
Yeah, he's going on his last tour, and he's not coming to St. Louis. I'm so bummed about that.
But this is his way to still reconnect with his fans.
I see.
Yeah, but he'll, you know what? Give him 5 years, he'll have a comeback tour. He's done it three times, like Kiss. Not a big deal.
I hope well, you're right. You know, anyway. 50 years of it, you know, a man gets tired. I don't blame him, but Stranglehold will live on forever.
Amen. Amen. You know,
that's right. Well, Jim, my nickname for him is Big Onion, because when I met Jim, he was my tattoo artist, like, what, 25 years ago? He did a big back piece on me, and now he's a CEO of a big software company, and he's just a wild man. So the Missouri wild man is going to be leading the charge as we go up
layers,
on this road trip.
Bo. He's like an onion.
That's why we call him the Big Onion. That's right.
Yeah, it's not because of my breath, hopefully.
Well, Jim, have fun up there, my friend, and I will be looking for a full report by Bo Matthews next week, and lots of pictures, Bo. I want you to text me your pictures with Ted and these hogs that you're killing.
I will. Big Onion, I'll see you on the road. Here we go.
Right on. Thanks, guys.
Yep, you bet. Have fun. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that. God, I'm so jealous. I just have to tell you.
And I was telling Mark this week that I've had Ted Nugent in my car, and you are going to go on a boar hunt with him. So now Mark needs a little Ted time.
Thank you. I need a Ted talk. That's what it is.
Yeah, really.
I need my own Ted talk. All right.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Sounds like some pool music, Carl.
Absolutely, it
you
is.
You think?
Yeah.
It could be. I don't know. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors, which means unless you have your own pool, you're kind of waiting for the neighborhood pool to open up or the municipal pool, and this is the big weekend for that. Bo, you just go swimming in the lake when you're hot, right?
Well, you know what? I used to swim laps in my lake until my nipple got bit by a fish, and I was done with that. So. It's true. I used to swim laps with my dog, and he was a horrible swimmer because he was a boxer, but I had a life vest for him.
Yeah.
And he and I would just go back and forth and back and forth, and then one day, boom, I got hit, and I was like, okay, I got to do something different.
I told you not to put the piranhas in the lake.
Don't stock the lake with piranha.
Why did you do that? Yeah, I'm not a big lake fan, but I love getting to the pool every once in a while. That's a full-time job if you own one or if you happen to manage them. And right now we have Doug Schaefer on the line, and he is the president of Unique Pool Management. Doug, great to get you on here, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm good.
Absolutely. And husband, we should mention, of the one and only Denise Schaefer. So
that's right.
Thank you for giving us a little bit of time this morning. We love
sure
Denise around here.
This was a hard get.
we had a hard time getting this guy's phone number. Well, it's a hard get this time of year, probably because you're so darn busy, right?
That is correct. It's very, very busy around here.
Give us, not to jump in on you there, Bo. Sorry. Give us an idea, Doug, the scope of what you do at Unique Pool.
Being the president, I kind of do everything around here because we're a very growing business. You know, we start out with just commercial management, and now we're doing a lot of residential. So I wear a lot of hats and help a lot of people just because we have a lot of new people that we've been hiring on and training. And as we grow, that's kind of what I do.
And, Doug, do you also build pools as well or no?
No, we pretty much do everything but new construction. So we'll get involved with some renovations. So if someone has an existing pool that's, you know, a little dilapidated, you know, maybe hasn't opened in years, we'll get involved with those kind of projects, but we won't do any kind of new construction.
Interesting. So I don't know about Bo. I've never owned a house with a pool because I'm smart and I have friends that have houses with pools.
That is a good idea.
So I'm just wondering, you know, if you're maybe you've got any advice for people just based on what you see at residential pools in terms of the new technology that's out there for keeping them clean. And
sure.
What is that? Is the trend saltwater these days? Is that easier to take care of?
I like saltwater. It's what I push. It's very easy for the homeowner. Very kind of set it and forget it is what I say. You know, they're very nice. UV is very popular. I don't do as much with UV, but on new construction, they're pushing that a lot. Really, it's just about anything you can do to get away from the old tab chlorine.
Yeah.
You know, no one likes that feeling of getting out and, you know, your skin's dry and you kind of stink like chlorine. And, you know, everyone likes that salt feel, you know, and the ease of it, obviously. With technology, you know, managing the chemistry, it's really is nice to have something like a saltwater pool. And it's easy to convert. I mean, that's the thing is one thing that people don't understand out there is, you know, they hear the word saltwater pool and they think it's something special about the pool itself. And it really doesn't have to do with that. It's about putting something on the equipment side and then adding salt to the pool. You know, so it's a little confusing for people that never heard it. They think it's more of like how the pool was built, but it really has to do with just adding equipment to your existing pool.
Yeah, is it expensive?
It can be, but to be quite honest, in the long run, if it's something you're going to have for, you know, 5 or 10 years, it's actually cheaper than a traditional tab chlorine pool. I think the break point that people talk about is maybe 4 to 6 years when you start to actually save money over tabs. But with the way tab prices are right now, that might even be sooner than later. I mean, tabs are getting more and more expensive every day, too.
Man, that's so true. That's so true, Doug, because I go to a – I have a hot tub, right? My thought tub, mm-hmm. I call it. But I went in to get chemicals, and they said, you know, the chemical prices are going up so much higher. And so is salt water compared to chlorine, is it a cheaper endeavor or no?
Yeah, and the reason it's cheaper – so salt itself is really cheap. I mean, you can buy salt at Home Depot for, you know, $7 or $8 a bag. So, you know, the initial adding of salt is not super expensive. And once you put salt in a pool, it's not going anywhere. And so in the process of generating chlorine, it's a cycle. So you break down the salt into sodium and chloride, and that's where your chlorine comes from, is the chloride. And when it reacts with bacteria and whatnot, it goes back with the sodium. So the salt never leaves. You're able to basically kind of generate free chlorine is kind of the way people describe it. Now, it costs you a little bit of power, but it doesn't cost you chemical. You know, once you have it in there, it'll stay in there. Now, if you lose water for, you know, various reasons, splash out and stuff like that, you'll have to add a little bit of salt, but very, very minor. You know, so that's why it's cheaper in the long run, because, again, you're not having to add chlorine every single day. It's you get it set up, and then you just add a little power, and it goes.
Well, you know, part of my background, Doug, I've done a little bit of everything, but as a parent, you end up getting involved in whatever sports your kids are involved in. And mm-hmm. I used to be the president of a local swim club. And I'll mm-hmm. never forget, because we had to use the school district pools, yep. the challenge was we had maintenance people who didn't quite understand the importance over a long holiday weekend when school was off about keeping up with the chlorine, and we'd come back after a long weekend, or the maintenance guy happened to be on vacation for a few days, and the pool would be green, right?
Sure.
So what we finally convinced them to do was to go to the UV system, and it cost a little bit of money to upgrade to it, but there were a whole lot of advantages, right? Because for people that have asthma or breathing problems, they're also not dealing with that layer of smell that you get off the top of a chlorine pool if you're in there swimming laps.
Yeah, I mean, the more consistent you can get with your chemical killing is also better. You know, that's always what plagues people when it comes to the older systems, is when it has a lot of hands-on application, then you might get high chlorine levels one day and zero chlorine levels the next, and that's never good. You really want to get a consistent system, whether it's on a commercial pool or a residential. And that's, you know, on residential, something like a salt system. On a commercial pool, we use more of like liquid chlorine, but we use pumps that, like a peristaltic pump, that'll pump in the same chlorine every day, whether someone touches it or not.
Yeah.
And so you get consistency, and consistency is very important when it comes to chemistry on a swimming pool.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that comes to mind as, you know, swimming as a kid, which, you know, this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, is the greatest weekend ever because the pool's opening up. But let's talk about opening your eyes underwater. As a kid, I can do it. As an adult, I can't. Is there a different effect on your eyes in the salt compared to the chlorine?
Well, so, you know, the red eye thing is something that always gets people when it comes to pools. You know, you hear someone swimming in a pool and they go, man, my eyes are burning and the chlorine's getting me. And what people don't realize is actually what mostly causes bad irritation to your eyes is the pH. And so an ideal pH in a swimming pool is like 7.5. And the reason that's ideal for a swimming pool, it's not because that's the best pH to kill bacteria. It's actually the chlorine's more effective at a lower pH. But it's because your eye, that's the pH of your eyeball, or right really close to it.
Oh, wow.
So when the pH is off, then typically what we find is probably the chlorine's off too. So it's not that, you know, you probably smell it. They probably have high chlorine. Then their pH is all wacky. But the reason your eyes are burning is because the pH is off, and it's probably really low. And you basically, you're swimming in a little bit of acidic water, and it's just irritating your eye. But everyone always associates it with chlorine, but it's really probably more of a pH issue.
And it doesn't mean that somebody peed in the pool, right?
No, typically no.
You have to ask, right?
It's not that they didn't pee in the pool. It's just that's not what's causing that problem.
Oh, my funny. God. We're talking with Doug Schaefer, who's the president of Unique Pool Management, because this is it. I mean, this is the big weekend, the big grand opening for neighborhood pools and a lot of municipal pools and stuff like that, which means you've probably been working some 12 and 14-hour days, right, Doug?
It is, and then on Saturday we start the countdown. You know, there's 101 days in the summer, and so you know, we have our countdown to Saturday, and then once Saturday hits, we start counting the other way until we get to September. So for us, it's 101 days of the summer that we try to keep these things open and clear and blue for everyone to have a good, enjoyable summer.
You know, Doug, I got to tell you, I've known Mark here for a couple of years now, and he said, oh, it's great to have somebody to you know, that owns a pool that you can just go enjoy it. People think about the same way about boat owners, having
True.
A friend with a
That's
boat
right. yep.
or a
yep.
camper. but some of my favorite memories are in a, you know, going to my dad's and in his apartment complex. I remember because that my parents split when I was seven. We'd go, and for two solid weeks, we'd spend all of our time in the pool. I do want to ask you about unique pool management. So you said you do commercial, the big Olympic-sized pools, but are you doing residential? Like, somebody can hire you to make sure their chemicals are right?
Yeah, we do both. So we have about 300 lifeguards that work for us, you know, at 40 or so commercial, like, you know, homeowners associations or golf clubs, things like that. And then we also have a residential side. So, you know, if someone doesn't want to take care of their pool, they can hire us to come out and once a week clean it, check chemistry, do those kind of things. And we kind of do everything in between. You know, some homeowners just want us to open it and then they manage it themselves. Or, you know, some people want a total hands-off experience. We offer anything in between. You know, so we'll do whatever it takes to get someone swimming in their pools.
Like lifeguards?
Yeah, that's the one thing we don't do. There is a company out there that'll do backyard lifeguards. That's actually a pretty popular thing.
Wow.
For parties.
Yeah, so if people have parties and they want to, you know, be able to enjoy their party themselves, but know that the people that are there at their house are going to be safe. There are companies out there that will hire backyard lifeguards, essentially.
My guess is this is probably, maybe last summer beat it, but it's got to be one of the most challenging markets in a long time to keep employees and to find them in the first place. And I only mention that because, you know, I'm not in charge of my neighborhood pool or unique pool would be managing it. But with the company that is, we've already been told so far they've only found one lifeguard to work at our neighborhood pool. And because of that, they're having to limit hours on when our pool can be open. Now, how do you deal with that when you need 300 people?
It's tough. You know, I mean, we start hiring people back in November. Obviously, we start with our staff from the previous year and try to bring them back. And we have a big referral program between our old staff to try to find new people. And we're just constantly advertising and trying to find new people. We offer our own certifications. So we might, depending on the area, might give someone a free Red Cross certification to come work for us.
Oh, yeah.
We have all kind of different incentives to try to get people. And it's a battle for us from now until the end of the season. You know, it's we'll never have enough lifeguards. And so we're always on the hunt. It's a great summer job. I mean, for someone who's 15, 16, 17, or even someone who's going through college, it's a great job because you have the summertime, you have your job, but then you know when school starts back up, you don't have to worry about quitting because we're pretty much done, you know, so you can go back to school and do your thing. So, and it's a good fun job. You know, I mean, people get to work with their friends, they're out in the sun, they're at the pool. What could be more fun than that?
Well, I've got to believe that in the pandemic era, so many people were appreciating their backyards if they had one, and a lot of pools have been installed or even above ground pools. And I'll be honest with you, I live in the woods, so we bought, you know, like the $129 13-foot wide pool you plug into the wall. Not a big deal, but it's just a way to, Mark. This is not rich people problems.
No. I'm just envisioning you out there in the, you know, in your skivvies, hopping in the pool on the woods.
Well, it's really for my wife, but I just wanted to say that, you know, a pool is a great respite. It's a great place to go to just to chill out, whether you're out there in your skivvies, like Mark just described. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good
so
stuff.
My point is it's a good business to be in for you right now.
Yeah, I mean, the pandemic definitely, it didn't hurt the pool industry because, you know, with no one being able to take vacations and leave, a lot of people really put money in their backyards and, you know, had their staycations, as they call them. So, the pool industry has been growing in the last couple of years because of that.
Well, Doug, you I don't know if you need more business or if you got your hands full, but give people a way to get a hold of you down at Unique Pool Management in case they're in need of help with their pools.
Yeah, I mean, the best way is to go to our website, and it's just uniquepoolmanagement, all spelled out, .com. And or if you just search us on Google, you'll find us. And there's a ton of information on there too, stuff about salt water. So if someone has, you know, curious about what it takes to, you know, convert to a saltwater pool or how it works, that information's on there. Or if someone wants to apply to work for us, if they have a 15 or 16 year old that wants to work, we run pools all over St. Louis County, St. Charles County. We pretty much have pools everywhere. So they can do everything through our website. That's the best way to get a hold of us.
Makes it easy. Hey, Doug Schaefer with Unique Pool Management. Thanks for your time today.
All right. Thanks, guys.
We just want to tell you, we hope you enjoy the show. We hope you enjoy this holiday weekend celebrating America's birthday. Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews with Mark Cox. We thank you for listening to this program. And, you know, we have a recurring cameo appearance by our next guest, Tom Hoff. He's the cultural site manager at Jefferson Barracks. And we are going to talk to you about an event called Bitter Conflicts. Tom, welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors, sir. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks for having me. And good morning to everyone.
This has been going on a lot of years. Bitter Conflicts, Jefferson Barracks.
You've got generations of kids now that need to be schooled on the history of our military and the sacrifices that have been made.
It's giving people the opportunity to reflect back on all sorts of different moments in American history and learn the significance of that, learn what it means to our freedoms today, because without the sacrifices that were made for us, we don't have the freedoms we have today. You're also meeting the people who are on the line now, on yes. the line today, protecting your freedoms. So it's a great blending of our history, where we're coming from, how we got to here, and who's here making sure that this great American experiment continues.
Yeah, Tom, I'll tell you what, I don't know why Donald Rumsfeld's quote from many years ago comes to mind, but I'm paraphrasing, but I think he said, you don't go to war with the military you want, you go to war with the military you have. And so oftentimes I've seen these old vehicles, which were, you know, cutting edge at the time, and you're thinking to myself, I think to myself, how in the world did they get in that and cover the ground? You know what I mean? It's just, it's amazing absolutely. To see what was used.
Absolutely. I've had the opportunity to ride in a lot of different historical vehicles, and sometimes you're just thankful to get from point A to point B with your spine intact. You know?
Ain't that the truth? Wow. So true.
Yeah. Yeah, like it's like riding in a sled, I imagine, in a lot of those cases. Let's talk about the reenactment for a few minutes. Is this like a battle reenactment, or are they reenactors for particular time periods, and you can kind of see how they would have camped and or, you know, acted?
Yeah, what we're going to do is there won't be any battle going on here today. Usually when we would do a battle here, there'd be like marching to a different site and so you have the room to have the battle.
Okay.
What we're doing here is it's going to be very concentrated around the historical site section, the old visitor center and the laborer's house in the old ordnance museum. And we'll have people from different groups going back to the French and Indian War up through this, you know, the American Revolution, the Civil War, the Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, Vietnam, setting up campsites.
Okay.
And you'll be able to talk to the reenactors, see the equipment that was used, learn a little bit about how the Army functioned at that time in history, and how Americans were living and coping with being at war.
I've always been intrigued by military actions and wars and the equipment, like we just mentioned. But it's really cool when you can talk to somebody such as yourself, experts in it, that understand it, that have studied it or participated in it as far as, you know, yeah. the Vietnam War goes. Is there a lot of opportunities that you would say that families will have to talk to those that are in uniform in whatever era and talk about specifics?
Oh, absolutely. The reenactors that we have, we've got a very knowledgeable bunch that come out. Everyone that's talking about their period are head over heels in love with it. For example, if you were to come talk to the Spanish-American War encampment, I will talk your ear off about the Spanish-American War and the Philippine insurrection. And it is, we've got people who are knowledgeable. They can answer your questions. We'll be out from about 9 in the morning till about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
So there will be plenty of opportunity as you walk along in order to talk to people and to ask any of the questions you want to have answered. Everyone will be interacting perfectly fine. They'll demonstrate how things worked. It'll go rather nicely. We're going to have a couple of food trucks out. So if you want to grab something to sip on or nibble while walking along, you've got that opportunity as well.
Well, I've always been so impressed at the dedication of the people that do the reenactment. And I know, Bo, you're good friends with somebody who does this, but I specifically remember when I worked at Channel 4 years ago going to one of these events. I don't know if it was at Jeff Barrick's somewhere. They had these folks set up, and when I went to the one for like the Revolutionary War, I swear the guy told me that he was wearing like burlap underwear or something, and it must have been it must have been 90 degrees outside that day. And I'm thinking, you really got to be committed to go that all in.
Yeah, it's
literally.
I've been part of the reenacting community since 1984.
Wow.
And it's a great hobby. It is the perfect way to learn the period you want to study if you're doing any kind of academic endeavor. Go out and live it. Live with the material, live with the equipment, learn how things function. So I approached reenacting back in the 80s when I was in college as an academic endeavor, and it turned into a lifetime of enjoyment. I met wonderful people, met knowledgeable people. You will meet people from all walks of life who have an interest in history, have found a great way to express that interest and develop that interest even further. So reenacting and living history can be, with the right mindset, an absolute wonderful tool. And the great thing about an event like this is, you know, if you've got your kids and they're kind of, you know, addicted to video games and kind of an indoor life, maybe you can spark something in them where they want to get out and they want to do something. And when they're young, they just go see reenactments. Go down to Pilot Knob and see what a Civil War battle looks like.
Yes.
Obviously, there are shortcomings. So you'll see what it actually looked like, but you'll get an idea of how people reacted together, how they camped, how the armies were organized. We're going to give a little taste of that here for a wide variety of things. I remember back in the 1980s. I was doing Revolutionary War reenacting and World War II predominantly. And there was a little bit of interest going on in Vietnam. And the interesting thing was, it being only 20 years after the Vietnam War, a lot of the guys that were getting into the groundwork of Vietnam War reenacting were Vietnam veterans.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a wonderful knowledge base there. And I look back now, you can look at a lot of the Vietnam War reenactors, and they do an amazing job with presenting what life was like in Southeast Asia at the time. And, you know, we're farther away from Vietnam now than we were from World War II when I started doing World War II reenacting.
Oh, wow. That's a perspective. Yeah.
Yeah. It well is. And, by bringing in this interaction of reenactors who are dealing with those military periods that we still have veterans from, it gives them an opportunity to learn from the people who did it, and then
keep
that knowledge alive to pass on to the next generations. So it's a great hobby in that regard.
For you guys, it is a great hobby. I would think that anybody that's studying history in college or they're focused on it in high school, that would be great. I mean, young kids are either into dinosaurs or trucks. This would be a great opportunity to show that off. Tom, thanks to the St. Louis County Parks Department for doing such a great job working with you guys. We hope to bring as many faces out there, new faces especially, to see all of the effort that you guys go through, even to the point of wearing wool underwear. Yeah. So thank you very much for your time.
And Tom, for a little extra cross promotion here, I know you talked to our friend Sue Thomas, I believe, for her new show, Sue and the Lou, right?
Yeah, yes, I did. And that was a great experience. Sue's a great person. I really like her. And it was nice to have the opportunity to sit down and talk about Jefferson Barracks, which is so near and dear to my heart.
Well, good. Well, thank you for doing that. And, sir, we will talk again soon. Thank you.
Get more at 971talk.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.